Hare Krishna. So again, we'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday evening festivities here. So tonight I thought we'd talk a little bit about happiness, something that we're all interested in. The Bhagavad Gita explains that there's three types of happiness. There's happiness in the mode of goodness. There's happiness in the mode of passion. And believe it or not, there's happiness in the mode of ignorance. So happiness in the mode of goodness. Krishna explains that it's a little bitter in the beginning, but then it becomes like nectar. Here in this community, the members of this community, we rise very early. Some of you may be shocked. Some rise at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning, and we go to our... We have, just like we just had Artik here, we have the 4:30 Artik here every morning. So many devotees come. So many people think, oh my God, waking up so early. How do you wake up so early? You know, 3 o'clock, 2:30. There's one lady here, this Mother Papaka in front here. She wakes up 2 o'clock every morning and she does her meditation and service throughout the day. So many devotees, they rise very early. So some people think, oh, that would be very difficult to rise so early. Many devotees that are now rising so early, previously, before coming to Krishna consciousness, that's when they would go to sleep. You know? Now they're waking up when they used to go to sleep. So in the beginning it was a little bitter, you know, rising so early. Even the thought, for many people, the thought of waking up so early is shocking. But then it becomes very nice. You know. Once one takes to Krishna consciousness, it becomes very, very nice to rise early and to chant the names of Krishna. This is also something that people find hard to believe. That I distribute books at universities around Southern California here, and people, their students, they ask me, so how long have you been a monk? I tell them, I've been a monk now for 35 years. And I tell them, they ask me, so what do you do as a monk? Well, I meditate a lot. And we do this, I do this service. I distribute books to people all around the world. And we're vegetarian. And I tell them that I chant this mantra. I chant the mantra to them, the Hare Krishna mantra. I do this every morning for 2 hours. And they're like, really? How can you do that? They can't imagine. How can you do that? Chant the names of God for 2 hours every morning. So people may find this to be difficult, but actually it's very nice. In the beginning, it can be a little difficult. Just like if someone has jaundice. The cure for jaundice is sugar candy. But when people take sugar candy with the disease of jaundice, it tastes bitter. It's bitter. Sugar, please don't. Later, chant, later. Yeah. Okay. So generally sugar is very sweet, but if you have jaundice, it's bitter, right? But if you keep taking it, you keep taking the sugar, then eventually you become free of the disease of jaundice, and the sugar becomes sweet again. So now we have this disease called material attachment. It's a disease. So this is the cure for the disease. The chanting of Hare Krishna. This cures this disease of materialism. So in the beginning it may seem a little bit bitter, hard to do, but it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Many devotees in our society now, they chant 64 rounds a day. It takes 8 hours, sometimes 9 hours. But they've got this taste for chanting the names of Krishna. They're becoming free of the disease. So although it may be bitter in the beginning, it becomes just like nectar. And this is what we want. We want nectar in life. Nectar means very sweet, very palatable, wonderful. So this is happiness in the mode of goodness. It's bitter in the beginning, and it becomes very nice. Another thing that we do is we read Srila Prabhupada's books regularly. So we, Srila Prabhupada, he said we should read 1 to 2 hours a day. So to hear about God, 1 to 2 hours, read about God for 1 to 2 hours a day. For some this may be very bitter, but actually it's very nice to hear about Krishna. The glories of Krishna are very nice. They're ever fresh, actually. It's very sweet just to hear the glories of Krishna, to hear the name of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, to hear about Krishna's devotees. Becomes like nectar. So the mode of passion, happiness in the mode of passion, is it's like nectar in the beginning, and then it becomes bitter. This is the mode of passion. It's like the example that stands out the most is throughout the world, men and women, they come together. And it's very nice in the beginning. It's very nice, like nectar. But then eventually the nectar wears off and it becomes very bitter. And therefore there's so much divorce, so much breaking up amongst couples. So, like nectar in the beginning, then it becomes very bitter. Or sometimes people get a job, they like the job in the beginning, but then it gets dry. There's one statistic that 90% of the people that have jobs, they don't like their job. Imagine having a job, you're working 8-10 hours a day, you don't like to do it. It's not good for the subtle body or for the mind. And then mode of ignorance, it's bitter in the beginning and bitter to the end. Mode of ignorance, not nice. Just like people that smoke cigarettes. In the beginning, it was horrible. The coughing, or people that drink alcohol also, tastes terrible. It's just horrible. When I was young, I took a sip of some whiskey. The most horrible tasting stuff. I spit it out. So horrible. It's disgusting. Amazing. People get addicted to it. And the cigarettes, also horrible. Horrible. So many horrible things that people take. It's horrible in the beginning, right to the end. It's horrible. And in between, it's horrible. It's all bad. Mode of ignorance. Right? So, then there's transcendental happiness. There's happiness in the mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. And then there's transcendental happiness. And this is a happiness where one realizes completely that one is the soul within, that they're not the body, and that they're the eternal servants of Krishna. And everything they do for Krishna. Yat karoshi, yat asnasi, yat juhosi, didasi, yat tapasyasit konte, yat tat kurusha, whatever. Krishna says, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you do, they should be done as an offering to me. So this is Brahma Sokyam Twanantam. This is the happiness of the soul, to act for Krishna. But to get this happiness, Prahlad Maharaj says, he says, Nayam Deho Deha Bhajam Naloke. He says of persons who have accepted material bodies, persons who have accepted the human form of life should not waste their time engaging in activities that the animals are engaged in, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But they should engage in austerities. And by these austerities, one becomes purified and experiences this happiness of the soul. So austerities purifies the mind, purifies the soul. Just like in the beginning, this chanting of Hare Krishna, it can be an austerity to chant, you know, 2 hours a day. It's an austerity. But as one continues on, it becomes very nice. It's not an austerity anymore. Or to read the books, or to come to the Artik, can be an austerity. Or to give up eating meat can be an austerity. Giving up intoxication. But when one engages in austerity for the pleasure of Krishna, one becomes purified. And we can't be happy if we're impure. So this whole process of Krishna consciousness brings about purity. And then we experience this happiness, this transcendental happiness. And the thing with transcendental happiness is it's always increasing. The happiness in the material world, it comes to a certain level and then it decreases. But nobody wants that. Nobody wants their happiness to decrease. Isn't it? Raise your hand. Anybody who wants their happiness to decrease? No. Nobody. One wise guy back there. No, everybody wants unlimited happiness. It's ever increasing. Right? This is what we're all searching for. But that can only be found in transcendental activities. Transcendental happiness. By chanting these names of Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, by engaging in service which is pleasing to Krishna, we can experience this ever-increasing happiness. I also wanted to speak about karma. We've all heard this word karma. A lot of people have a misunderstanding of karma. Basically, what goes around comes around. Karma. But actually, there's three different levels of karma. There's vikarma, there's akarma, and there's karma. So karma, the word karma just means activity. Karma yoga means activity for the pleasure of Krishna. Yoga means connection. So activity which brings connection between the soul and Krishna. So this is called karma yoga that we're doing. Vikarma means activity by which one gets a reaction. And this is what people speak about mostly when you say what goes around comes around. You do something bad, you know it comes back to you. So this is vikarma. So if we do sinful activities, we get a reaction for that. And it's interesting that the sinful activities, there's always a restriction. Just like intoxication. there's a restriction. You could only buy alcohol if you're a certain age. And the people that sell the alcohol, big tax. Very expensive. You know, they get to pay a big tax because they don't want it to be done. So there's a restriction. Cigarettes also. You could only buy cigarettes if you're a certain age. Also very expensive. So this is to deter people from doing it. Gambling. Restricted. Here in California it's not allowed. Only in some states. Because it's not good. People know it. It's not good. So all these sinful activities are restriction because it's not good. Gambling, intoxication, meat eating, not here in America, practically nowhere in the West is there a restriction for it. But in the Vedas, in the Vedic literatures, there's a big restriction. If you want to eat meat, it's described in the Vedas, then you could only kill a goat. And before you kill the goat, you whisper in the goat's ear, I am killing you now. In the future, you will kill me. You'll think twice about killing the goat then, right? And that's the idea. You know, why should I do this? He's going to kill me in the future. Why should I do it? So there's a restriction. So gambling, intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex also. If there's any activity outside of marriage, then there's big reactions. Many divorces are just because of that alone. I don't know if legally if there's any reaction. But vikarma. Sinful activities. These activities should be avoided. Then there's akarma. Akarma means activities which are being done only for the pleasure of God. These are pure activities. And these activities are so powerful that you become purified. And if you do these activities on a regular basis, you become so purified that you become qualified to associate with Krishna. You can go back to Godhead by these activities of akarma. And this is the goal of the human form of life, to engage in these akarma activities. And this is actually the pure nature of the soul. We're all actually pure deep down. We're covered now. Krishna explains in the Gita, Avartam jnanam etena jnanino nitravayana. The wise living entity's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So material desires are covering us, the pure soul. So this process of Krishna consciousness uncovers, it cleanses, chaito darpana marjanam, it cleanses the heart of all material contamination. So this is why we do these things. We chant Hare Krishna, we're going to take prasadam pretty soon. This also is very purifying. To hear about Krishna, all these things help us to become free of this contamination. So this is akarma. And the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving so much direction, so much information on how to act for his pleasure. And if we do these activities, actually the Bhagavad Gita is an instruction guide for the human form of life. So if we just follow these instructions that Krishna's giving us, then we're on our way home, back to Godhead. Yeah. Otherwise, we have to go through it again. It's called samsara, the cycle of birth and death. Srila Prabhupada, he writes in one purport that the greatest fear of a devotee is to again enter into the animal species of life. You don't know what you're going to get. So many different species of life. And we've been through all of them. So now we have the human form of life. This is a loophole. The human form of life is a loophole. How to get out of the whole cycle of birth and death and go back to Krishna. So all we have to do, all that is necessary, is that we take this human form of life seriously. That's all. Take it seriously. And Srila Prabhupada, he's given us so much, like I said, so much guidance, so much instruction. There's so many devotees to associate with. So we can learn from them. You know, the association that we take, it rubs off onto us. So by reading these books, Prabhupada's association, it rubs off onto us. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die while still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. So Prabhupada is living in his books. And all you have to do is you open them and he'll speak to you the truth. And what is that truth? We're not the body. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also says, the flesh is not my own, alas. The mortal frame a chain. The soul confined for former wrongs should try to rise again. Why then this childish play in that which is not my own, which falls within 100 years as if a rose blown? So we're here just a short time. We're eternal beings, so we're here just maybe 80 years, 90 years, just a snap of the finger. It's nothing. Very, just a so short time. So we should take this human form very, very seriously. Yeah. And by taking this seriously, we develop all good qualities and we become free of the bad qualities of material nature. There's Krishna and there's Maya. Maya means the illusory energy. Generally, people in this world are bewildered by the Maya, the illusory energy, where they think that they're the body, and by satisfying the body, then I'll be happy. This is Maya. Maya means that which is not. So we're not the body. We're the soul within. As long as we're thinking that we're this body, then we'll be covered by so many bad qualities. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. We don't want these. Right? None of us want these bad qualities. It's like there's this, just like, you know, there's Alcoholics Anonymous. So there's Emotions Anonymous. Yeah? It's a big thing. There's over 1,000 branches throughout the world. It's Emotions Anonymous. People lose control of their anger, of their lust, of their greed. They just can't control themselves. So they go to these organizations to try to become free of these bad qualities. Greed. Yeah. So many people are greedy. Multi-millionaire. There was one person, one newspaper reporter, he was interviewing one multi-millionaire, hundreds of millions of dollars. So he asked him, so you have hundreds of millions, so much money. What do you want? Is there anything else you want? I want to be a billionaire. Never enough. Never enough. More, more. Greed. There's one joke. One man was speaking to God. God, what's $1 billion to you? And God said, a cent. God, what's 1 billion years to you? A moment. God, can you give me $1 billion? In a moment. So greed, people want so much. But one of our mottos in Krishna consciousness is simple living, high thinking. We don't need much. You know, even someone's a multi-billionaire. I mean, how much room does he need to sleep? You know, 6 feet by 2.5 feet. You don't need. They got these big houses, probably many houses. But how much room do they need to sleep? How much can they eat? You know, still, you know, the multi-billionaires, but you still can't eat that much. You know. They probably, you know, also have to think about their weight. You know. So, we don't need much. These people, they have so much money, and so many millions of people are in need. Millions and millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars are just sitting in people's bank accounts, just sitting there, doing nothing. Isa vashyamidang sarvam yat kinchit jagat jam jagat. In the Isopanishad, it stated that everything that exists is owned and controlled by God. Therefore, we should only accept that which we need as our quota and not accept more, knowing what everything who everything belongs to. Everything belongs to Krishna. We may have our car, we may have our house, we may have our, you know, computers and whatever. But actually, everything belongs to Krishna. We may be borrowing things for a short time. That's okay. But we should understand we're borrowing it. Everything belongs to Krishna. Yeah. And whatever can be utilized in the service of Krishna, it should be utilized in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada was being interviewed by one television reporter on TV. So he said, you people are supposed to be spiritual, right? But I saw you guys come with a nice car. How was that? Prabhupada said, we use the car in the service of Krishna. It's not a material car anymore. It's a spiritual car. He said, oh, wow. Far out, a spiritual car. He loved that. So the spiritual, whatever we use in the service of Krishna, it's not material anymore. Just like we have this big building here. People might say, well, what kind of spiritual people? You got this huge building, and we have so many cars, so many buildings. We own about a quarter of the block here. But it's all being used in the service of Krishna. So it's not they're not material buildings anymore. Actually, this building is not in Los Angeles. This is the spiritual world. How do you like that? Because here, the only thing that's happening is we're serving Krishna. These are embassies to the spiritual world. So by taken seriously to Krishna consciousness, we become free of these bad qualities, greed, lust, anger. Anger can also be very disturbing. It's like here they had, what was it, rage? What's it called, rage? Road rage. Road rage. You know, someone pulls in front of them and they shoot them. Where's the tolerance, you know? People become so. Prabhupada told one story. He knew of one family in India. He knew of these two brothers. So they would sometimes become very angry at each other. And at one time they got so angry at one another, they were fighting and fighting. One killed the other. Anger. Insane. Brother killing a brother. Can you imagine? So then the one that killed the other had to go to court. So the judge, he came up to the conclusion that he should be killed for murdering his brother. And then the father came to the judge and said, "Please, judge, one of my sons was killed. Please, don't kill the other one too." And he came up with so much feeling. The judge said, "All right, prison for life." He spared him. But this is anger. It's so bewildering. Overcome by anger. So, but we can also develop good qualities. Actually, there's good qualities in all of us. And by this process of Krishna consciousness, we develop these good qualities. And I wanted to read. There's a chapter in the... And by the way, in the first chapter, or the first part of this class, I was explaining to you the three types of happiness. There's a chapter in here called The Three Modes of Material Nature. And by reading that chapter, you'll understand which mode you're in. And here, I'm going to read from the 16th chapter. And this is called The Divine and Demoniac Natures. So this is also, this helps us also get an idea of where we're at, right? So the first few verses in this chapter, Krishna explains the divine qualities. It's very beautiful. So listen to this. And you could pray to Krishna to develop these qualities. The first one, he says, is fearlessness. Become fearless. There was one instance where Prabhupada was asked by a reporter. He said, "What is the result of your practicing Krishna consciousness? You're spreading this movement all over the world. What is the result? What is the goal?" Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "I have no fear." Fearless. And sometimes we see these stickers, "No fear," you know. But when you become a pure devotee, there's no fear, nothing can cause any fear. Purification of one's existence, self-control, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature." Beautiful, huh? So these qualities that I just read, they're all in us. They're there. They just have to come out. And this is the result of practicing Krishna consciousness very seriously. These beautiful qualities, they come out. So, there's a few minutes left. Is there any question or comment? First one is usually hard. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.